This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Tess Vigeland. It is time now for a mail call, and our senior producer, Patty Hirsch, joins me. Hello.
Hello, Tess.
Mail call.
Mail call.
Ding, 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 ding. And with them, of course, we are joined again by Liz Weston, raised from her sick bed. How are you, my dear?
Oh, I'm alive. Thank you.
Good,
thank
good. You. Glad to hear it. I don't see any snot coming from your nose.
Oh, please. Come on.
Oh, did I go
it's
there?
A family show.
I did.
All right, Patty, what do you got for us today?
Well, I have something for Liz, but before we get to that, a little feedback on last week's show. We got some great response to the two features we did on personal finance in the military.
Good.
So Claudia Mulcahy said the Marines were right on the money with their financial literacy program, you know, which involved...
The stall wall?
The stall wall, bathroom yes. walls, yes. She says that in our society, we expect people, especially men, to know how to budget. And she's had men come to workshops that she's run embarrassed that they don't know how. Mm. So it's great to hear this kind of financial literacy happening at government level.
Amen.
Amen, indeed. And we got some good response to the music that we played after that piece.
Oh, I love that, too. It was the Marine Band playing Semper Fidelis, right?
Exactly. Very rousing. Some goosebumps for me, anyway.
Excellent.
Haley Trevis wrote in from Houston, Texas, regarding our comments about paying for philosophy degrees.
Okay, so this is where we were reading a comment from a listener who was suggesting that perhaps we should think about actually paying philosophy students to go to college because philosophers are so important to our society.
Yes, and I think you predicted some mail there, didn't you?
I did.
Well, Haley wrote in to say that her late husband got a free education under the National Defense Education Act on the understanding that students would go on to teach humanities at college level.
So the funding for his education was, what, part of the defense budget?
Yeah, the NDAA was signed in 1956. It provided funding for just 4 years, so it doesn't run now, of course. It was actually inspired, believe it or not, by the Russians' launch of Sputnik.
Hmm.
So I guess Congress thought they needed to get people educated to keep up with the Russians.
Very philosophical about it all.
Indeed.
Yes. All right, so we have a question for Liz, I assume, in here somewhere?
Yes, indeed. So, Liz, obviously you're here as our debt expert. Henry from Chicago wrote in saying he recently got a large bonus. He has a bunch of credit cards, all of which have got the same outstanding balance and about the same interest rates. At one point, he maxed all the cards out, which was bad for his score. The levels have come down a little bit now, but he wants to benefit his credit score as much as possible. So he's wondering, should he pay off one or two cards entirely or spread the bonus money equally across the cards to bring them all down?
He wants to bring the level of all the cards down because the way the FICO scoring system works is it looks at the gap between the credit you're using and the credit you have available.
Mm-hmm.
So paying down one or two cards is not going to do him as much good as getting them all down. And then hopefully he eventually pays them all off. That's the goal.
That's the goal.
So Liz, this is the utilization rate.
Credit
right?
utilization,
and,
exactly.
And you want to be below a certain percentage, right, on your utilization of whatever your credit line is for each of your cards?
Yeah. There's not really a hard and fast line. People misunderstand that. They think, well, if I'm below 30%,
right.
I'm golden. It's actually the less you use, the better. So 30% is good. 20% is better. 10% or less is best.
Okay. So next we have another Liz, also from Chicago. Wrote in to ask about bankruptcy for senior citizens. A friend of hers who's over 70 is considering filing for bankruptcy. And Liz is wondering, is there a free, unbiased counseling service that you can recommend?
Boy, 70 years old filing for bankruptcy.
Yeah, tough, right?
People over 65 are actually the fastest growing group of bankrupts.
Oh, so
I think
sad.
What you're seeing is, you know, the increase in credit availability hitting those fixed incomes.
Right.
Mm. And people are just getting squashed. Now, the issue is the unbiased source.
Mm.
And
yes.
here's the problem. The National Foundation for Credit Counseling, NFCC.org, is the legitimate credit counseling agency. That's where you go if you want to get credit counseling. The issue is that their mandate is to try to steer people away from bankruptcy. So what I suggest whenever somebody's thinking bankruptcy might be an option or they're trying to avoid bankruptcy, they make an appointment with an NFCC-affiliated agency to talk about their situation, but they also make an appointment with a bankruptcy attorney.
How do you find a trustworthy bankruptcy attorney?
Great question. You go to the National Association of Consumer Bankruptcy Attorneys. That's NACBA.org.
And we will have a link to that on our website.
Mm-hmm.
What else, Patty?
So we got a very interesting letter from Kathy in Redmond, Oregon. She is in a difficult situation because she's having problems with her credit score thanks to a default on a loan payment by her daughter. So we got Kathy on the phone, and I think I'd like to have you chat with her a little bit more, Liz, and maybe give us some advice and dig into this a little bit. Kathy, do we have you there?
Yes.
Hi, Kathy, fellow Oregonian.
Yay. Oh, good.
So, Kathy, tell us a little bit more about your situation.
Well, my husband and I are retired, and we had some extra money, sort of. And we have a daughter that was renting, and we thought it was time for her to be into her own place, stop throwing rent down the hole. So we put up the $40,000 for a down payment for a condo in San Diego.
Okay.
And the arrangement was that it was like an investment for us. We would have a place to stay when we travel in the winter. She would make the payments, and hopefully everybody would be happy. Well, it
would
turned
the,
out.
Now, Kathy, is this just a check, basically, that you gave to your daughter?
Well, we provided the down payment for this condo. So, yes, it was a check.
But did you make it to the daughter, or did you make it to the bank as part of the home sale?
It went the latter, to the bank as part of the home sale.
Okay. So then were you on the deed? Are you part of? Okay. So your signature is somewhere on these home papers.
Yes, our signature, both of our signatures are on the deed.
Okay.
But what about the mortgage?
Yes.
You're on the mortgage as well. Okay.
It's already gone to foreclosure. She's already moved. She's already out. She's back renting. It's been over a year now.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So let me get that right. So she, over a year ago, she defaulted on that loan payment and went into foreclosure?
Correct.
Okay.
And so presumably now this is showing up on your credit score?
Correct.
Yeah. Not surprising, Liz,
no.
that this is now affecting them as well.
Yeah. Anytime you co-sign for a loan, what happens with that loan affects both parties, the one that was responsible for paying it and you, who is, you know, legally responsible for paying it as well.
Kathy, I have a quick question for you. When we spoke to you earlier this week, you were adamant that you hadn't co-signed this loan. Is there a reason why you were actually under that impression?
We provided the money for the down payment, so it was not a cosign. Like, apparently, it's totally in our name. She was making the payments based on us carrying the mortgage. So,
So you had the entire mortgage? She wasn't even on the papers?
She wasn't on the papers.
Oh, well, that changes the entire equation, and that makes it so that this is entirely your foreclosure.
Yeah. So it's not affecting her at all.
Yes, it is our foreclosure. We had a legal document where she signed that she was going to make the payments, but basically it was our mortgage, yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So she's gone off. Her life goes on. She doesn't even have to deal with the effects of the foreclosure. It's mom and dad picking up the...
You got it.
The debris. Oh, boy.
I think that's got to be a lesson for moms and dads out there who are even thinking about something like this. I mean, it seems that there's some real confusion that in this lending area that I think a lot of parents fall into.
Kathy, let me ask you, did she have bad credit? Is that why you wound up with the loan?
She wasn't eligible for a loan, correct.
So you basically just bought her a place to live?
We didn't see it that way because she was making the payments faithfully.
Right.
And it was like gifting her money, whatever you want to call it, for the down payment to get her out of the rental business.
Yeah. And a lot of parents, you know, do help with down payments. The step of putting yourself on the mortgage and taking control of the mortgage, that's a step above and beyond. And I'm sure you know this now, but if I were in the same situation with my daughter, I'm not sure that I would co-sign a loan just because the consequences can be so devastating if something happens. Even responsible kids, responsible young adults can have problems and wind up not being able to pay the loan.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's
great to want to give your kids a step up, but as we've learned, sometimes renting is better than owning.
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. When you're young, when you're not sure of your plans, it's a great thing. You're not throwing money away. You're buying freedom.
Right.
And a house is the opposite of freedom. Even if you do wind up walking away from it, it's going to follow you in one way or another. So what can we help you with, Kathy?
We were trying to get a home equity line for some improvements, and we were denied. And other little things have showed up that indicate that we are defaulting. We have a default on our credit score.
Yeah.
I tried to get another credit card to replace the one that I currently have, and I've been denied across the board on every kind of financial transaction I've been trying to do.
Liz, is there anything to do about this, or is this just something that they're going to have to wait it out for whatever period of time?
There's no way that you can get this off your credit reports is the short answer. And it's going to take between 3 and 7 years for your credit to recover. How good was your credit before? It sounds like it was pretty good.
It was excellent.
Oh, okay. Well, it's probably going to be the full 7 years then until it gets back up to that excellent level, because it's going to take that long for the foreclosure to fall off your record.
Yeah.
All I can say is you need to start taking steps to rehabilitate your score. I'm glad you still have that credit card. Keep using it lightly but regularly. Pay it off in full every month. Do you have a mortgage on your own property, on your own house?
No.
Okay.
No.
It may be worthwhile to add another installment loan to the mix. And I always hesitate to tell people to take on debt, you know, if you don't need to. But
how can you take on debt if they won't give it to you?
Right. Well, that's the question. What I would do first is go to myfico.com. That's the only place that you can buy your FICO scores, which are the same scores that lenders use. Buy one of your scores. You can get two there. And see what it says about how you can make your score better, because that's sort of an individualized action plan of what you need to do. It'll cost you about $20 to buy your FICO. There are free credit scores out there, but they're not the same scores that lenders
use.
Don't
use them.
Yeah. Go to MyFICO, grab that score, see what it says. And typically what you do in rehabilitating your score is you keep using that credit card and then think about adding that installment loan. You can go to a credit union. They tend to have a little bit more flexibility when it comes to credit scores. They seem to be a little bit more willing to work with people.
All right, Kathy, good luck. Keep in touch and let us know how it's going, all right?
All right, I'll do that. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, thanks, Liz.
My pleasure.
Thanks very much, Liz. Good to see you again.
Likewise.
And we always want to hear from you guys, so you can tweet me at Tess Vigland.
New name, new handle.
New name, no longer Radio Tess. At Tess Vigland, you can tweet Patty at Patty Hirsch, and you can tweet Liz at Liz Weston.
Yeah, hit us up on Facebook, send us letters, let us know what you're thinking.
That's right. Thanks, Patty.
Thank you very much, Tess.